2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and I just want to share a quick thought from God's Word. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 and read down to verse 8. The Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Let's pray. Father, we do love you. I thank you for your love for us. Lord, we know that you are not after our money as much as our heart. And I pray, Lord, that we would purpose in our heart. I pray that we would be cheerful givers. I pray that right now you fill me with thy Spirit, and as we give this quick thought, and then as we sleep upon it tonight, that all of us would just be willing to obey you and what you lay upon our hearts to give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Well, someone said that giving is like children. If you wait until you think you can afford to give, you will never give. And perhaps you've thought about that with children. I want to ask you a question, just to get you to think, maybe a provocative question. When you think about coming to church, what aspect do you look forward to the most? Some people say, man, I can't wait for the preaching of God's Word. And Pastor Jones, he brings it, doesn't he? And you look forward to that, and no doubt we should. Other people say, I look forward to the music. I love the music. It is Christ-honoring. It pleases God, and it prepares my heart for the Word of God, and thank God for that. And maybe someone else would say, I look forward to the fellowship, just assembling together, provoking one another to good works, and we should look forward to that. I think if we ask the question, what do you look forward to the most in the church service? What do you look forward to the most in coming to church? I don't know that I've ever met someone that said, I cannot wait till the offering time. It's my favorite time. And yet, I want to say this, giving is the direct pipeline to God's abundant blessings. Giving is the direct pipeline from God's abundant blessings. And so we see here in this verse that really there are three different ways in which we can give. And tonight I want you to pray about it. Lord, what do you want me to give tomorrow to Faith Promise Missions? And I mentioned last night that I would not preach something that I do not practice myself. I've been giving to Faith Promise Missions my entire life from age 8 all the way through. And my wife will have ours to put into the offering plate tomorrow in our home church. And I believe in it with all of my heart. But I want to ask you, there are three different ways in which we can give. And I want you to examine your heart. Would you write these down? Number one, we can give with a grudging heart. We can give with a grudging heart. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, every man. And that word man, we understand in the Bible, it has the idea of every person. And I do want to say this. I believe everyone should be involved in giving. And I believe everyone should be involved in giving to missions. My daughter Alyssa's back there. She's 12 years of age. She gives $1 a week every single Sunday to missions. My boy, he gives $1 every single... I'm doing that for two reasons. One, someone says, well, what does $1 do? $52 a year. How far can that go in missions? Well, little as much when God is in it, first of all. But more than that, I want to teach my children that giving is important. And so I want to encourage every child to get involved in giving to missions, and every teenager to get involved in giving to missions, and then every adult. All, everyone to have a part in it. The Bible says every man, every person, now notice this, according as he purposeth. Would you underline that word purposeth? It means this, to decide aforehand. And I know your pastor's been hitting this probably for a month or so. I believe he said, you know, pray about your faith promise giving. I want you to ask God, what do you want me to give? And that's a biblical concept. That's a biblical way in which we look at this. And so every man, so every person in Oakwood Baptist Church, according as he purposeth in his heart. And so we aforetime think, Lord, what do you want me to give? We aforetime pray. And I know at our Faith Promise Missions Conference that my wife and I, we talk about it, we discuss it, we pray, and then before we turn it in, we know this is what God wants us to give. And then that Sunday morning, we put the slip in the offering plate, and we have purpose. Now notice, in his heart. That's where it's got to begin, right? God doesn't want our pocketbook. He wants our heart. He gets our heart. He gets our pocketbook. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart and treasure are always connected in the Word of God. See, I believe God works this way. He works in our hearts, and then it goes to our heads, and then it goes to our hands. So I get my heart right with God, and that's why I preached last night, for God so loved the world, because the love of Christ constraineth us. And if I get my heart in tune with God, old Vance Havner used to say, to be in tune with heaven. If I get my heart in tune with God and in tune with heaven, and my heart is right, and then I pray, Lord, what would you put in my mind? I get my head right. Lord, what amount do you want me to give? Then it's easy for my hands to give it. And then he says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, and then not grudgingly. And so we can give, but we can give with a grudging heart. Would you write this down? The word grudging means out of sorrow. I can give, but I can give it like this. Oh! God's in essence saying, don't give like you are giving to the IRS. Not grudgingly, out of sorrow. And we can give that way, can't we? Husbands, can you imagine you came home next Valentine's Day and you had a dozen roses for your wife on Valentine's Day? That's a good idea. Can I get an amen there? I thought every woman would say amen. You come home and your wife says, oh, you should not have done that. And you say to your wife, I had to do it. It's Valentine's Day. How many of you guys think that would go over really, really well? But yeah, a lot of people do that with God, don't they? I have to bring the tithe that's His. I have to give to missions. That's what our preacher's been encouraging me to do. No, that's giving grudgingly. Could I say this? Grudging giving is an insult to God. Because God doesn't want my money, He wants me. And when I'm giving grudgingly, I'm in essence saying, God, I'm giving this in a sorrowful way. I'm giving this out of a compulsive way instead of giving it from my heart to my head to my hand. Does that make sense? Grudging giving is never grace giving. And by the way, God is no man's beggar. He owns he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills. My giving doesn't benefit God. My giving benefits me. And so number one, we can give with a grudging heart. Would you put this down? Number two, we can give with a guilty heart. It says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. That's out of sorrow. Would you mark these words? Or of necessity. Necessity. Again, that means compulsion. And I know your pastors, he and I, we talk about this. We're similar on this, and I've met other pastors who are different. I don't do high-pressure tactics with our people. I don't want them to give because of some guilt trip or even a sad story. I don't believe that's grace-giving. That's guilt-giving. And guilt-driven giving is not going to last very long. We don't give out of necessity. We don't give grudgingly. We don't give because of pride or because of even pity or because we see people on a screen that need the gospel and our heart's broken. That certainly is a good thing, but that's not the chief motive. I have some other things, but I want to get to the third one. And so would you write this down? Number one, we can give with a grudging heart. Number two, we can give with a guilty heart. But number three, here's the one we want. We should give with a grateful heart. With a grateful heart. He says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That word cheerful has the idea of hilarious. I'm glad to give. And again, what part excites you the most in the service? Man, I love that preaching. That's good. I love that song. That's good. But we should be the same way with giving. You know, it's interesting. If you look up, I won't do a Greek study on you, but if you look up the word grace and the word joy in the Greek, they come from the same root word. Do you know why we can have joy in our heart? It's because of the grace of God. How can I give with a cheerful heart? It's because of the grace of God that God reached down and He saved an old wretched sinner like me. I was on my way to a place called hell, and Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood and was buried, and He arose again the third day. And because of the amazing grace of God, I can have joy in my heart, and I want to give now with a cheerful heart in light of what He's done for me. So I bring my tithe, and then I give my faith promise missions giving, and I'm not doing it like, oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, I have to do this because the preacher's trying to get me to do it. No, no, no. After He would save my soul, praise God, I get to give back to Him. Maybe you want to write this down. Giving is never a repayment for what Christ did for us, because we could never repay it. Giving is a response to what Christ did for us out of a grateful heart. Well, I'm going to give to repay what He did. How do you repay Calvary? It's impossible. It's not a repayment. It's a response. Study the Old Testament, New Testament. I believe all the Bible, but a lot of times in the Old Testament, they were doing something to merit favor with God. They would give to merit favor with God. And then you come to the New Testament, it's the opposite. Our day is the opposite. We do not do something to merit favor with God. We do not give to merit favor with God. Because we have grace, because we have been merited favor by God, we give. Does that make sense? I don't give to merit favor with God. I can't give to get my way to heaven. No, because I have received grace. Grace giving, man, it just puts a bubbling joy in my heart and a smile on my face to say, Lord, not only do I bring 10%, but I give to missions to get the gospel because I want these people to know the same great story that I know, and that is Jesus died for my sins. Finish this, church, would you? We love Him. We give to Him because He first gave to us. If you get a hold of that, that changes everything about your giving. Well, if I give to this, God will love me more. Wrong. We heard that from Brother Johnson, right? If I give to this, it'll... We don't give for any of those purposes like that. It's because of His amazing grace. And He gave me His... Verse 15, unspeakable gift. He's touched my heart. And now it affected my head. Lord, what do you want me to give? And then it goes into my hands. And then God takes it from my hands like that boy with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And He uses it to spread the gospel. Could I ask you a question? What kind of giver are you? I hope not a grudging giver. A mom gave a girl $1.25 and said to her, I want you to put one or the other in the offering plate. At the end of the service, the mom asked the girl, I gave you the dollar and the quarter. Which one did you put in the offering plate? And she said, I put the quarter and I kept the dollar. She said, I was going to give the dollar and I was going to keep the quarter. But then the preacher said, God loves a cheerful giver. And I knew I would love keeping the dollar a lot more than the quarter. And so I wanted to be a cheerful giver. A lot of people are like that with the Lord. The truth is, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me?